So I'm excited to be here. I love the At the Movies series. Want to say welcome to all of our first-time visitors. I was playing, so I didn't get to see. If you're a first-time visitor, lift your hand. I want to say hi to you. Hey, girl. Hey. Hey. Hey, girl. Hey, sir. How are you? Just want to say welcome. Glad you guys are all here. Hope that you enjoy your time in the Lord. All right, let's get to the Word. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Judges. We're going to be looking at Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. I am going to attempt to utilize this. If I trip, y'all can laugh. I'm really okay with it. Just somebody, Mr. Joe, hey, Mr. Joe, Mrs. Lucy, one of y'all come up here and help me up. Okay. But we're going to try to utilize it. It's fun. I like new things. All right. So we're in a series called At the Movies. And this week we watched a movie called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse? I just know it's Spider-Man, the cartoon version. Well, we watched that on Wednesday. So what we're doing is Wednesday nights we watch a movie, and then Sundays we talk about the biblical truths from that movie. And this was a movie that I picked because my family is a huge Marvel family. We're the kind of family that we must go see the Marvel movies the weekend they come out because we don't want to deal with other people trying to tell us, stay for the ending, you're going to miss this. It's not going to. We want to judge it for ourselves. So we always, always, always hit the Marvel movies the first weekend they come out. And this was absolutely one of my favorites. It had such a powerful message, and I hope it's going to encourage you today. When I looked at that story and I saw that movie, it's about a young boy named Miles who gets bitten by the spider. If you know anything about Spider-Man, you know, my youngest son said, he said, I wish it was so easy. If I could just get bit by a spider and become a superhero, he said, everything would be better in my life. I was like, boy, you got bit by Jesus. You don't need no spider. You know? And so what's interesting is he gets bit by a spider, and then he goes through this transformation of kind of discovering who he is and what his gifts and talents are, and the fact that God is trying to use those, or that someone is trying to use those, to thwart off the evil that is coming so that the whole world can be saved. You know, it's a marvel. The whole world is going to be saved because of you. It's kind of that story. And so it's about his journey discovering that. And so when I looked at that story, I thought, immediately, there's somebody in the Bible that I see a complete parallel with, and that person is Gideon. And so today we're going to study the life of Gideon, and we're going to talk to you from this passage, Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. If you found it, would you do me a favor, out of reverence for God's word, stand to your feet. We're going to read the passages together. But before we do that, we're going to read our Bible affirmation. Now, this is so powerful because our Bible affirmation is something we speak over ourselves and we declare before we hear the word of God, because we want to make sure that we open our hearts to hear God speak to us. So lift your Bibles or your electronic devices up in the air. If you don't have one, lift your hand in the air. We're just going to go by faith. Say this with me. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen, amen. All right, Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. We're going to be reading this loudly and together. Again, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on the screen. For the sake of us saying this all together, we're going to read from one version. Because otherwise, y'all, we're going to sound like we're talking in tongues in church, and nobody's going to know what we're saying. Because y'all got different versions. So let's read one version together. All right, ready? Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Orpah, which belonged to Joash the Abarazite. I know these words are hard. Just hang on. It's over now. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Father, thank you so much for this word. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us, that you would fill us with your spirit this morning. Father, move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in and help us to brace ourselves for what is yet to come. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, look at them, and tell them, brace yourself. Now tell them, get ready, embrace yourself. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The title of my message today is Brace Yourself. This summer, my kids and I went on vacation, and I absolutely love doing something adventurous when we go on vacation. You know, whether it's jet skiing or we'll do ATV riding. But my favorite thing to do when we go is on vacation is to zip line. Yes, I love it. I don't know what it is about jumping off of something that just changes everything for me for vacation. And so we had a chance to go to Hawaii earlier this summer, and we go, and there's actually nine zip lines that you get on. And what's interesting is you may be as high as 50, 60 feet in the air. But here's how zip lining works. And it's so funny because even though I've done it several times, I still get scared each and every time on that first zip line. You get to the very edge, like you're harnessed in. They got you strapped. I mean, you got on so much gear. If you fall, you ain't gonna hurt none, even though you're 600, 700 feet in the air. But you're completely strapped in. The only way the zip line can work is if you jump off. Nobody's gonna push you. You have to jump off. And all I think every time I get ready to do this is, girl, brace yourself. Get ready for it. Because you don't know and you know, in the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, well, what if? What if this line, you know, I gained some weight. What if the line breaks? What if the thing, and they tell you all the safety reasons, but it don't matter how safe they say, you still have to brace yourself. Let me tell you that God is getting ready to do some things in your life. And I don't care if you've done it before. I don't care if you've seen it before. I don't care if this is the first time you heard it. But a part of us always gets a little bit afraid, and we have to say to ourselves, come on, girl, brace yourself. Get ready because something is about to happen. I want us today to get prepared because God has some battles. God has some fights. God has some things we have to get involved in. But in order to do it, before we get ready to jump, we're going to have to brace ourselves. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about bracing yourselves. But I want to look at the story of Gideon and parallel that with the little boy Miles in our story from the Spider-Man movie. In Judges chapter 6, what we begin to see is that the Israelites are in trouble. Anybody have any bullies that you have seen in your life? Maybe, I don't want to ask if you've been a bully, but anybody ever seen a bully? What do? Bullies pick on you and take things from you, right? Well, the Israelites had a big bully. The bully was the Midianites. And what the Midianites were doing was they were picking on them to the point where they would mess up their crops, or they would take their crops from them so that the Israelites wouldn't have food. So the Israelites were hungry, or they would destroy crops so that they couldn't eat what was there. So the Israelites are having this bully pick on them. Now, these are the chosen people of God. These are the people who are supposed to be living in the land of milk and honey. You ever had a situation where you know you were supposed to be living better than what you were? But yet some bully is messing with you. Somebody, you in court because some bully been messing with you. You ain't even trying to do nothing. You dealing with people on your job who messing with you. You dealing with people at school that's doing dirty things to you. But wait a second, I'm a child of God. I'm supposed to have better than this. Why am I struggling with this? It doesn't matter, because I want you to know you better brace yourself. God's going to use you to get yourself out of that situation. So they were being bullied, and here we find Gideon. Gideon is this small kind of a guy who's minding his own business. But Gideon said, look, we got to eat. So what Gideon is doing is Gideon is sneaking in food. Go up to our passage. In 6:11, here's what Gideon does. The Bible says that Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. What that means is Gideon is trying to harvest wheat in the place where they press wine, which means nobody sees wheat in a wine press. So Gideon is like, I can figure out how to get some food to my people by going on the down low and getting some wheat together. They're not going to come in the wine press looking for it, so I'm going to take it. And he's hiding from the Midianites. He's scared. He's afraid. He was trying to help his people, but he was trying to do it secretly because he was afraid. What, this is so important, because if you'll catch this, you'll begin to understand that Gideon was already moving in the right direction, even though he was scared. What's funny is Gideon don't think he's so amazing, because what Gideon is thinking is, y'all better not catch me. You ever had to do something on the sneak tip because you don't want nobody to find out, because you might get in trouble? Something that's right. not the wrong stuff, right? So Gideon is trying to help his people out, but he's so afraid that he's going to get caught that he's hiding while he's doing it. So today, as we talk about this, I'm going to give you 4 points. And the first thing I want you to understand about this is this. Point number one. God made you with a purpose. God made you with a purpose. And God will use you to fulfill his purpose on the earth. It's interesting to me that Gideon did not have anybody say to him, Gideon, you're the man. Go hide and go try to get wheat. But something inside of him said, I got to feed my people. And while he's doing this, an angel of the Lord shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor. And he's like, well, I ain't mighty, I'm scared. And most people miss and they think, no, he was scared. No, he was mighty because he was still trying to go on a sneak tip and do what was right. So look, some of y'all don't realize that some of the things you've been trying to do, they really are a good thing from the Lord. Even though it feels like it's not working, even though you're scared about it, don't worry about it. And here's the thing, God is putting that inside of you because he has a purpose and a plan for you. And he's trying to do something in the earth and he needs people like you and I to do it. There has never been a plan throughout all of history that God had that did not involve people. God's deliverance has always involved ordinary folks. Let me explain this to you. There would be no crossing of the Red Sea if Moses hadn't lifted his hands. There would be no walls falling down if Joshua didn't lead the people to start shouting. There would be no Goliath dropping and the Philistines falling apart if David didn't take up the slingshot. See, God needs you to do something in the earth because he has a plan and you are a part of that plan. And I know some of y'all feel like I'm just an ordinary person, but every person I just mentioned was absolutely ordinary. They were ordinary folks who did extraordinary things. And we're sitting back saying, God, I'm looking at the world around me and I'm seeing all the craziness happening. And the first thing I think of is I can't do anything about it. No. God raised you up for such a time as this because he has a purpose and a plan that only you can do to start dealing with some of the junk that's happening in the universe right now. No, God, I can't do this. No. God said, I made you before the foundations of the earth with a purpose. And y'all don't believe me. Ephesians 2:10 tells you, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Every one of us in here, God had a good work he planned for you before you came to be. Every one of us in here, some of us are sitting here like, I don't really believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. The Bible says that you were created in Christ Jesus with a good work. God knew he was going to need someone like you for this moment in the atmosphere. And some of y'all are like, I'm just a kid. I have seen God use kids to do miraculous and mighty things. David was a kid when he killed Goliath. He was a teenager. He wasn't some grown old man. No offense to the grown old men. But he was a young kid. Young people always lead revolutions. If you look at throughout history, it's the young folks who are doing the fighting. It's the young folks who are doing the changes. Throughout the civil rights movement, it was young people who went and sat at the counters. It wasn't the old folks. So all of our young people who sit there and say, I'm only 14, I'm only 12, you need to stop telling yourself that lie. God has a purpose and a plan for you, and you need to start believing that in yourself. Now, some of y'all are like, I'm old, so that don't apply to me. God uses old people too. Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth. Tell me God can't use an old person. It don't matter what age you are. If you're still breathing, God still got a plan. God still got a purpose. And God is not finished with you. And something inside of you ought to be crying out, God, use me for greater. God, do something bigger in me. Because everything inside of me feels like if I don't complete this big task, then God, my life wasn't worth it. There's something more that God has us. Oh, you don't like those verses. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Do you not know that God has a plan for each and every day of your life. He knew them before one of them ever came to be. So look, here's the thing that gets me. Why is everybody trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? You really don't have to spend your time trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is go to God and say, what did you create me for? What work do you want me to do today, God? Lord, look, this is the reason why we in this church want to encourage you to read your Bible every day and to spend time in your word every day, because every day God will give you directions for what you got going on that day. I don't know what to do today, God. He's like, cool, I got a plan. Every day we seek God. Every day God leads us towards that thing that he's called us to. I remember I was 18 years old, and I was sitting in church. And I was sitting in the back of the church. It was a really large church in St. Louis, and I was home for the summer right after my first year of college. I was sitting next to my mom, and I so clearly heard the voice of the Lord say to me, Shayna, I got something big for you to do. And I was like, whoa. And I started weeping, and I started crying. And my mother's sitting next to me going, what the heck is wrong with this girl? Just crying. And we came out of church. My mom said, what happened to you? I said, Mom, God spoke to me. She said, what'd he say? I said, he's got something big for me to do. She said, well, what is it? I said, I don't know. I didn't take the time to ask him that part. But from 18 years old, I am now a lot older than 18. But since I was 18 years old, I've been living my life under this assumption that there's something big for me to do. And every step I take is a step towards that big thing. And I look back now, these many years later, 25 plus years later, we just can't go with that. I look back over these years, and when I didn't think it was big, when I didn't think it was something huge, I just thought I was just doing the little thing God says. I look back and I see a trail. And I see that God's been doing big stuff all along. And it's funny because the big thing don't look like what you see on TV. The big thing is lives changed. I see people whose lives, they were drug addicts. And because of the Lord using a word through me or through this church, their lives were changed. I saw people who were dealing with demonic infestations or dealing with demonic oppressions, and they were struggling in their mind, and yet God brought freedom and deliverance to them. See, those are big things. I saw marriages that were broken, completely restored. I saw single folks who had no hope and never thought they'd be married, get married again. I saw people who have cancer completely healed from cancer. See, those are big things, and most of us are sitting there saying, well, God, that's nothing. But to the person who got healed from cancer, that's everything. To the person whose marriage was destroyed and restored, they feel like my life is completely changed and better. See, you got to stop looking for what the world says is big and look for what God says I've called you to do. Each and every single day, there is something God has called you to do that he has purposed that only you can do. No, it's not as big as Miles saving the world with the multiverse and, you know, keeping the three multi-dimensions from colliding and all that other stuff. But that one life changed. And I've looked back, it's been more than one. It's been thousands of lives changed. Why? Because God has something big for me to do. I want you to understand this today. I want you to have permission to believe that God wants to use you. Some of us don't feel like he wants to use you. I give you permission today to believe that God is going to use you. You might be thinking, well, yeah, I believe that on some level, but probably it's not me. Look, trust me. It's easy to dismiss the possibility that God might actually be calling us to lead somebody and change our world, because it's so easy to say, I don't want to do that. But what if? What if it's true? What if it's possible that God might want to take our world in a new direction? And what if it's possible that he wants to use you to do it? What if it's possible that he might place in his hand a bunch of ordinary people just like me and you to do the extraordinary in our world to change the world around of it? Think about the implications. Imagine what could be possible if a movement of just simple, ordinary people across our world began to rise up and take action and do what God called them to do. Wouldn't it change the world around us? Imagine how different San Jose would be if just a few of us who were ordinary would rise up and say, God has a purpose. I believe it and I'm going to follow it. Imagine the life change that could take place. Imagine the problems we could solve. Imagine the impact we could make. Imagine the pains and the injustices that are plaguing our world today could be alleviated if we actually gave ourselves the permission to believe that God wants to use me. We could change the whole world if we started believing that. Now, what's interesting is that all of your life experiences have been about preparing you for the thing or the things that God has for you to do on the earth. Every good experience and every bad experience you have been through or will even go through will prepare you for that purpose. Look, in the movie, the little boy Miles was so upset because he had to go to school all the way across town, leave his friends, leave his loved ones, go sleep Monday through Friday in a campus far away, and go there instead of just being able to go hang out with the neighborhood kids 5 minutes away in the school. How many of y'all have had situations where you're going, God, why are you allowing me to go through this mess? I mean, really, Jesus, couldn't you just fix this? How many of us want Jesus to snap his fingers and say, it's all settled, it's all done, it's all fixed? God is like, no. I got something prepared for you, but you got to understand, you can't do it unless you go through this crap. See, I think about the little boy Miles in the movie because Miles, because he went to that school far away, met a little girl who had also been bit by a spider. He wouldn't have met her if he went to the other school. Miles also was away from his family Monday through Friday night sleeping away so he could go out at night and do Spidey Man kind of things. You know, if you're living at home with your mom and dad, you can't do them Spidey Man kind of things. Your mom, because his mama, she was Hispanic. She was like, where you at? You can't be out every night. Don't nobody else got mama, Hispanic mothers. You are not going to let your baby just go out at night and roam the streets. Miles, boy, get your tail back in this house. Come on, somebody. But because he was placed in an uncomfortable situation, God could use his experience to get him ready for what God had prepared him for. If you are in an uncomfortable situation, you ought to start praising the Lord because you're right where you're supposed to be. It's just preparation. I don't know why we think preparation is supposed to be easy. Okay, I see the group of teens sitting over there. I love them. They're so awesome. Y'all can look at them and see them going to school and you can say, oh, it's okay. I know it's hard now. It's going to get better. Y'all can look at them and see that, right? He's like, oh, just hang in there. This is what you're going to school for. You're going to school because if you don't go through the bumps and bruises in school, you won't be prepared for life. You won't be prepared for your job. And we can see that. How come you can't turn that same logic on yourself? This mess you in with your boss, that's just preparation for when you become a boss. This conflict you feel with your cousin, the reason why you in conflict because God trying to show you how to build a relationship so when you get married, when you in conflict, you don't have an attitude and you know what to do. Y'all don't hear me. See, it's all a preparation for the next thing. It's so important that we realize that God has laid this out for us since the beginning of the world. He has a work for us and the mess that we're going through is all a part of getting us ready for that. But God doesn't leave us alone because the first thing I said is that God will prepare. God has something prepared for you. But here's the second point I want to make. The second thing I want to make is that God will send somebody to tell you about it. Ain't nothing worse than being in a situation and being clueless. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I did not. They old enough. They can handle it. I did not. When my husband passed away 10 years ago, I never really dated. So I was completely clueless when things were going on around me. So, you know, I would be around and some guy would say something and I'd be like, ha ha. And then my girls would be like, Shayna. They would have to tell me something was going on. If we are in situations that we've never been in before, it's very natural for you to be clueless. But what God will do is he'll say, I'm going to send somebody who can speak to you and talk to you so you don't have to walk around clueless in the middle of this situation. Because if you get a clue, watch this. Once I realized what they was doing, I was like, hey, deuces. No. I didn't know. I was thinking, hey, we just being cool in front of them. They ain't trying to be your friend. Oh, snap. They not? I ain't know that. Got it. All right. Now I got it. Now watch this. This is so important. Gideon is minding his business completely clueless about what's happening. All he knows is I got to try to feed the people around me. He's clueless. God sends an angel, a prophet, if you will, to speak to him. And what's so funny to me is the prophet starts to tell him about himself. He says, look, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon is like, look, I'm over here hiding. I don't know what you're talking about because I'm clueless. He says, no. You're a mighty man of valor. God will send people in your life who will see things in you you can't see in yourself. And they'll begin to speak them to you. And what most of us will do is we will dismiss that. Why? Because I'm clueless and I don't get it. Just realize you're clueless and start listening to the folks God sends. Come on, see, look, I realize that this is why God left the Holy Spirit, because we clueless. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will tell you what is yet to come. He'll get you ready for what's, y'all don't understand. He's going to get you ready for what's going on. So you sitting there, the Lord will send a pastor, a teacher, a neighbor, a friend, a child to clue you in that, look, you got what it takes to handle what God's about to bring in your life. You don't think you got it, but I see the gift inside of you. As a matter of fact, this is what the gift of prophecy is supposed to be used for in the church. Most people think the gift of prophecy should be all about, you tell me what's going to happen in my future. But if you look at scripture, this is a prophet, an angel showing up. In a later verse, it'll tell you that the Lord sends a prophet to him to speak something else to him. What a prophet does is they look inside of you and they see the gold that exists inside of you. And like a treasure where they're seeking treasure, they speak to you and it pulls out the gold inside of you so that you begin to see that gold in yourself and believe in that gold in yourself and believe that God is doing something amazing inside of you. So while you sitting back talking about I can't do this, God will send somebody with a prophetic gift who will look at you and say, oh, you're a mighty man of valor. Oh, you're a mighty woman of valor. Man, God's going to use you. Man, God's got a plan for you. Man, God's got a purpose for you. Don't you settle. Don't you wait. I come to tell you, there's some single folks in here that don't realize that there is gold locked up inside of you. And God says, I'm going to pull that gold out of you and I'm going to cause it to shine. I'm going to cause you to be the man or woman of God I've created you to be. There are some married folks who are sitting there feeling like they've missed stuff. But I hear God saying, look, you haven't missed anything because you got married and had kids. As a matter of fact, you're right where I want you to be. I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to do something mighty inside of you. And God has sent me as a prophet to speak to that gold inside of you, to tell you it ain't over. When you're going through all kinds of madness, God will send the right person who will give you an encouraging word and say, hang on in there. You're going to come out of this as pure gold. You're going to come out of this as pure gold. And some of you are saying, well, I don't have nobody talking to me like that. There's a couple things you can do. Number one, get in your word and the Lord himself will speak to you. You ever had a word? You reading in Deuteronomy. You don't even know how to pronounce it effectively. Obadiah. You reading, and the words jump off the page. And you say, man, that's pretty special. Nah, that must not be from God. Stop saying nah. That's the Lord himself trying to talk to you, trying to encourage you for the journey, because he knows you clueless, and you need a little help. Miles in the story, in the movie, had several people encourage him. His father would come to him and say, Miles, you got something special. His uncle would say to him, Miles, you can do it. Peter Parker, who was the original Spider-Man from a different dimension, said to him, "You got this. You can do this. Start looking for the people in your life who will speak an encouraging word to you. And when you feel down, you need to go get around them people. Say, let me take you out to lunch." I'm really open for lunch, guys. Your spiritual leaders, friends that are, you know, are godly, your parents, people who you know are walking with the Lord and see you, get around them so they can give you an encouraging word. Do you know it's okay to tell somebody, "I need encouragement today. Can you just encourage me?" That's real vulnerable. That's real vulnerable. Some of us come to church hoping somebody got a prophetic word for us, but then we sit back in the corner like, "Okay, church is over, I'm out. Well, they didn't speak to me." You didn't get around nobody either. You didn't go ask no questions either. You didn't say, "Hey, I'm really going through it today and I need encouragement." Do you not know that there are people all over this church that God will release the prophetic gift on them in that moment just to give you what you need? Stop running and acting like, "Nobody talked to me. Nobody's given me anything." "Well, God, I guess you didn't have a word for me." Yes, I did. You just left too early. All right. So God has a purpose and a plan for you. God will send somebody to tell you. And here's my third point. It's the point that I love. God will call the unqualified. So God will give you a word and you sitting there like, "Yeah." You know, every time God gives me a word and he got something for me to do, most times my response is, "How's that going to happen? You sure about this, God?" God gave me a word in March about something, and I remember sitting there going like, "Nah, I don't really think that's going to happen." God was like, "For real?" Like, I just said a word. And then what was funny was I was on a plane. I heard the word. I was going to a meeting. I was in a meeting, and then they had worship. I go to Pastor Jerry Derman down at the Rock Church in L.A. every other month, and he gathers a bunch of pastors together. And these are pastors that I don't really know, but we get together and we pray and we listen for what God is saying. We say, "Here's what we think the Lord's saying to the church." So this was only my second meeting, and I had heard a word on the plane, and I get there, and I'm just kind of like, I've seen people, I don't know these people, they don't know me. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, yo?" They bring somebody lead worship up. We hadn't even got through the chorus. He sang the verse, got to the chorus, and a woman came with a prophetic word. She like grabs the mic, and I was like, "Hey, come on, Jesus. You about to speak to somebody today." He's like, "No, I'm speaking to you." God confirmed the word from the plane. And then throughout the day, multiple people kept confirming the word. But you know what I said? "I don't know about that, Jesus." See, and I was looking at me and why it wouldn't work. God calls the unqualified. Stop disqualifying yourself because the word don't seem like it fits you. The word fits you because God said it fits you. You don't like it? 1 Corinthians 1, 27-29 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." I've been foolish. Anybody else been foolish? God chooses foolish people. I should say, "But God shall choose the foolish people of the world to shame the wise people of the world. And God has chosen the weak people or things of the world." Come on, anybody ever feel like, "I can't do this because I don't have this ability or this strength"? "The weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." See, God will pick you for a battle when you don't feel qualified because he likes using unqualified stuff. Because if he can use somebody who is not qualified, then people will look at you and say, "That had to be nobody but Jesus, because I know you, girl." They'll look at you and say, "Weren't you the crack addict?" "Yep, but now I'm a CEO." They'll look at you and say, "Didn't you get D's and F's in school?" "Yes, but now I'm running this." "You need a job, boo?" God will look at you and he will say, "Yes, I saw your past and all the things you have done, and I got something better and in store for you." God don't care about your past. As a matter of fact, God likes people with jacked up pasts. You want me to tell you? Moses was a murderer. Moses was a murderer and a racist. And yet God used him to deliver over 2 million people out of bondage. Y'all don't like this. God uses unqualified people. So stop acting like I can't do this because I don't have this, or because I ain't did this, or because look at me, or look at that, or look at. God said, you know what? I ain't ask you about that. I called you because I had a plan before the beginning of the earth. I've told you and sent somebody. So keep your mouth shut and just realize that I will qualify those who I call, even if you don't feel qualified when I call you. When I started pastoring this church, you know, people ask you, oh, what made you decide to become a pastor? You must have grew up all your life thinking you was going to be a pastor. Oh, quite the contrary. I was like, matter of fact, I got ordained in 2004 as a pastor, and Mark can attest to this. And when I got ordained as a pastor, people started calling me Pastor Shayna. My husband had ordained me, and Lydia and B, we all got ordained the same day. And they would call me pastor. And I felt so uncomfortable with that title that I told them, just call me elder. We pick something different. I don't want to be pastor. Don't be calling me your pastor. And Mr. Mark, this is why I say God will send people. Mr. Mark said, I'm going to keep calling you pastor. I said, Mr. Mark, you don't have to call me that. He said, I don't care what you say, because I'm going to call you pastor. Well, little did we know, 4 years later, the night my husband passed, God called the unqualified. I had no experience. At least I didn't think I did. Had no degrees, no background in this area, no understanding of what I was doing. That was 11 years ago. Almost this October, when God called this unqualified pastor. And somebody had a word they had been speaking, your pastor, over me. And that night, in a suddenly moment, I became the pastor of this church. And here's what I told God. Look here, God. I do it for a year because, you know, that'll give them a year to find somebody. That's what I told them. I said, God, you got a year to find somebody else to come and pastor this church. And God laughed in my face. And I remember the year was up, and I went to our leaders, and I said, okay, year's up. We ain't found nobody. But they wasn't looking either. Let's just be honest. Wasn't nobody looking. We ain't had no search committee. We ain't had no job descriptions. We ain't had no ads and no paper. I was like, these people ain't looking for nothing. They need help. They need a real pastor. And about a year afterwards, I came back to them. I said, hey, guys, it's been a year. I told you I'd give you a year. What do you guys think? They said, what are you talking about? Where are you trying to go? I was like, I ain't got nowhere to go. They was like, then just stay and be the pastor. I said, okay. I wasn't qualified, but here we are 11 years later. We have done so much in these 11 years. The thousands of people we reach through our outreach efforts at Christmas and at Easter, the thousands of people who have come to Jesus Christ, we've done conferences that have brought in some major speakers and some things that have really transformed our community. People are still asking me about a conference we did in 2011. I know, we need to do another one. Don't look at me like that. But the point is, God uses the unqualified. So stop discounting yourself because, see, I didn't have a Master's of Divinity degree at the time. God sent me back to school because he was like, you need to learn something. Here's what's funny. Gideon didn't have the gifts at the time either. Miles didn't have the gifts in the time when they were called. But you have to learn to grow into your calling. When you are called, you are not qualified, but you must learn to grow into your calling. So I don't care if you don't have the gifts then, but you can grow into your calling over time. That's the reason why I said I'm going to go back to school so I can grow into my calling. It's the reason why I get around men and women of God like Pastor Cal, who's my spiritual father, and others, because I want to grow into. I still ain't qualified yet. Y'all ain't got this. Y'all think I'm qualified. I ain't qualified yet. But I'm still growing, oh, come on, somebody, into my calling. This is why you're going to have to seek out and ask God, how do I grow? I may not have the ability, God, but how do I grow? How do I get this? How do I get better? How do I do what you're calling me to do? And he will show you exactly what you need to do. Now, I also have a degree in business, and one of the things we have in business is this. In business, they say if you're learning, you have your learning years and you have your earning years. They're different. It is a very profound statement that is so powerful, because there are years that you think you're supposed to be producing fruit. You're not going to be producing fruit. You're just learning. When everything is going wrong, shut up. You're learning. When it looks like everything's falling apart, that's okay. You're learning. You're supposed to be doing the hard stuff, because if you don't learn how to do the hard stuff, when God brings the big stuff, you ain't going to be ready for it. So that's why you feel so unqualified. And God says, I'm just getting you ready. Chill out. All right, that was a good word. Okay, here's the last one. So God made you with a purpose. God will send somebody. God will call the unqualified. And my fourth and final point, embrace yourself, is God will make you jump even if you ain't ready. God will make you jump even if you're not ready. God makes us jump when ain't nobody ready. We have this saying with John Maxwell. John Maxwell says this: jump and build your wings on the way down. Figure it out as you do it. If you keep waiting to get it right, you ain't gonna never get it right. Just jump. Just go. Just try. What if I fail? Who cares? Just jump. That's why I have a God that I trust in, that if I fail, he either is going to catch me or make a soft landing so that I ain't destroy everything so I can get back up and do it again. Jump even when you're not ready. Gideon was not ready. Gideon was scared. As a matter of fact, over and over and over in here, if you look at Judges chapter 6, verse 17, Gideon goes to God and says, show me a sign, because I don't know what we do. You ever had God say, God, show me a sign, because I don't know what we're doing? That's because you scared, you ain't ready. You need to jump even if you ain't ready. And here's what God responds in verse 23. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. You ain't going to die, boy. Shana's version. You ain't going to die. You'll be all right. Jump. Gideon's like, I don't know about that, God. So Gideon comes back a little bit later. And Judges chapter 7, verse 3. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn apart and leave. Gideon was getting the army together, and God said, whoever is scared, let them go. Gideon's like, well, I'm scared. God said, you can't go nowhere. Let the rest of them go, though. So even though it looks like other people are scared and they can't jump, you still got to jump. Gideon was scared. Okay, you don't like that. Gideon was, he's freaking out. I love God. I love God. I love God. Judges chapter 7, verse 7. He says, I'm going to give you 300 men. You're going to fight against and deliver the Midianites. Get delivered from the. And he says, I will save you. Even when you're scared, I'm still speaking words to you. Now watch this. Judges 7, verse 9 is so powerful. It happened on the same night that the Lord spoke to Gideon. Here's what he says. He says, arise and go down against the camp. Here's the promise, for I've delivered them into your hand. I love this next line. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp anyway. Go down with you. So he said, look, get up and go down, and you're going to the camp. I'm going to deliver you. But Gideon, I know you're scared. But since you're scared, get up and go down to the camp anyway. Just go. But here's what I'm going to do for you. Since you're scared, you're going to go down there and you're going to hear what they're saying about you. And after your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. He said, I know you're scared, but I'm going to give you a word for when you're scared. Come on, put it back up. Go to the next verse. Watch this. Verse 11. So he says, and you shall hear what they say. So he goes down, and here's what Gideon hears. Verse 13. Gideon comes in. He hears this. He says, a man was down there in the camp he was supposed to take over. He says, I heard, I've had a dream. And to my surprise, a loaf of barley bread, remember he was threshing wheat, tumbled into the camp of Midian. They're talking about Gideon. And it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Watch verse 14. So the guy gives an interpretation, and Gideon is listening. And he says, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon. How the heck y'all know who Gideon is? He was hiding in a wheat press. God let the enemy speak a word to encourage Gideon so that Gideon would jump even though he was scared. This is why you got to be listening and reading the word and listening to the word of the and worship music and messages. Because when you're scared, God's going to send a word and you're going to get encouraged in your spirit. And then you'll say, I can jump now, Jesus. Watch verse 15. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, Gideon's response was, I'm gonna worship God, which means I'm receiving this. I accept it. I get it. And then he got up, went to the camp, and check out the change in his voice. He said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Come on, y'all. Let's go jump. If you're scared to jump, just tell God. He'll tell you what to do and encourage you so that when you're ready, he's like, let's go. Now fear is no longer in your heart and you can jump without fear. Let me show you this video. I got to show you this and set this up. It's amazing to me that when you get ready to jump, I don't care how many times you've done it, you get scared. But when you have a God that's been speaking to you and encouraging you and reminding you of who you are and reminding you of what he's called you to do and reminding you of the purpose, you'll jump anyway. This is my 13-year-old jumping down a mile-long zip line in Hawaii. His face shows a little fear, but he jumped anyway. He's going upside down. He's doing tricks. You know why? Because I don't have to be afraid when I jump by faith. It's a half a mile stretch over. You see the streams, the rivers, the waterfalls. He jumped anyway. Gideon jumped. Miles jumped. Brace yourself. You gotta jump. Get ready. Because God has a purpose and a plan for you. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand praise. Come on and stand to your feet. And you might say, well, it's easy for a 13-year-old to jump off something like that. I did the same zip line, but he had the camera. What do I sense God saying? Brace yourself. Jump. There's a work I've called for you to do. I know it's scary. I know it's not easy. I know it's not what you wanted. I know you've got every excuse to why you don't think it's possible. Jump. Brace yourself. Let the Lord speak to you and encourage you. Just get on off and do what God's called you to do. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you're here today, and I don't know, maybe your first jump is, I don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If that's you, then I want you to say afterwards. So we're going to have some, come on up, prayer team. Our prayer team will be here. Your first jump may be just asking Jesus to be Lord of your life. But I want to pray for those of you who know that God has a purpose for you and it scares you. You're scared. God, I can't do this. It's hard. I'm not qualified. I don't have the abilities to do this. If you're scared and you know that God has something for you to do, I want you to just lift your hand. I'm not asking you to tell us what it is. I don't need to know. God knows. I want to just pray for you right where you are. Maybe it's just facing a new season of life that you know, I have a girlfriend who she's afraid because she's about to be an empty nester. It's a whole new thing. Maybe some of our students are afraid because they're getting ready to go into a new level of school. Maybe it's high school or college, or maybe it's a new middle school, and you're getting ready to go into a new season. I want you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you. You've got something big. Maybe you don't know what it is, but you sense it's something. Yeah. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for those with their hands lifted all over this building. God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. You know exactly what you've called us to do. You have something in this earth that only we can do that we can bring transformation and change and deliverance and completely change and transform the world around us. God, maybe we know what it is and maybe we don't. But now we stand with our hands lifted up and we say, yes, God. Lord, we brace ourselves. Come on, say, I'm bracing myself. I'm going to jump no matter what. God, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would send someone who will speak a word over us, who will minister to us, who will speak that gold and call it out of us so that we'll know that there's something bright and amazing inside of us. We ask you, Father God, to loose inside of us the fears that are telling us we are not qualified, that we can't do this. And we ask you, Father God, to help us to jump even when we're scared, to help us, Father God, to jump off of that platform and get on that zip line and that of life and do whatever you've called us to do. In the movie, Father God, Miles said, what if I mess this up? And Peter Parker said, it's a leap of faith. He said, I can't do this. And the girl told him, it's a leap of faith. See, when you jump, it's a leap of faith. It's saying, God, I trust you anyway. God, I trust you. Not my circumstance, not my situation. I trust you, God. So I'm going to ask you to symbolically do something for me. It's something that we do in the natural that's representing something in the spirit realm. I'm asking those of you with your hands up to just do me a favor and just jump. We're going to jump by faith. We're going to jump by faith. God, I'll do what you tell me to do by faith. I'll trust you by faith. Come on, take your leap of faith right now and just say, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. I trust you, I trust you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, thank you for this. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would increase our faith this week to believe that you have a purpose, that you want to use us. Increase our faith and open our eyes and ears to hear from someone who can speak to us. Increase our faith to remind us that you call the unqualified and it's okay. Increase our faith to jump even when we're scared. Father, thank you for this moment right now. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave our prayer team up. Everybody up here has the ability, the Holy Spirit is resting on each of them at this moment, that if you need a word of encouragement, they have the ability to bring that to you. So if you feel today that you came and you need encouragement, just go to them. God will use them. He'll speak to you. Okay? All right, I'm ready to dismiss you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with each of us henceforth, now, and forevermore. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Give somebody a hug. Find somebody new. Please come see our prayer team. If you need encouragement or prayer, or if you want to make a decision to ask Jesus into your heart, you can see them as well. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Come on, somebody. Let's praise the Lord on our way out.